Hunger by Knut Hamsun, translated by George Egerton, Part 1. It was during the time I wandered about and starved in Christiania. Christiania, this singular city, from which no man departs without carrying away the traces of his sojourn there. I was lying awake in my attic, and I heard a clock below strike 6. It was already broad daylight, and people had begun to go up and down the stairs. By the door, where the wall of the room was papered with old numbers of the Morgenbladet, I could distinguish clearly a notice from the director of lighthouses, and a little to the left of that, an inflated advertisement of Fabian Olsen's new-baked bread. The instant I opened my eyes I began, from sheer force of habit, to think if I had anything to rejoice over that day. I had been somewhat hard up lately, and one after another of my belongings had been taken to my uncle. I had grown nervous and irritable. A few times I had kept my bed for the day with vertigo. Now and then, when luck had favored me, I had managed to get 5 shillings for a feuilleton from some newspaper or other. It grew lighter and lighter, and I took to reading the advertisements near the door. I could even make out the grinning lean letters of winding sheets to be had at Miss Anderson's, on the right of it. That occupied me for a long while. I heard the clock below strike 8 as I got up and put on my clothes. I opened the window and looked out. From where I was standing, I had a view of a clothesline and an open field. Farther away lay the ruins of a burnt-out smithy, which some laborers were busy clearing away. I leant out with my elbows resting on the window frame and gazed into open space. It promised to be a clear day, autumn, that tender, cool time of year, when all things change their color and die, had come to us. The ever-increasing noise in the streets lured me out. The bare room, the floor of which rocked up and down with every step I took across it, seemed like a gasping, sinister coffin. There was no proper fastening to the door, either, and no stove. I used to lie on my socks at night to dry them a little by the morning. The only thing I had to divert myself with was a little red rocking chair, in which I used to sit in the evenings and doze and muse on all manner of things. When it blew hard and the door below stood open, all kinds of eerie sounds moaned up through the floor and from out of the walls, and the Morgenbladet, near the door, was rent in strips a span long. I stood up and searched through a bundle in the corner by the bed for a bite for breakfast, but found nothing, and went back to the window. God knows, thought I, if looking for employment will ever again avail me aught. The frequent repulses, half-promises, and curt no's, the cherished, deluded hopes, and fresh endeavors that always resulted in nothing, had done my courage to death. As a last resource, I had applied for a place as debt collector, but I was too late. And, besides, I could not have found the 50 shillings demanded as security. There was always something or another in my way. I had even offered to enlist in the fire brigade. There we stood and waited in the vestibule, some 500 men, thrusting our chests out to give an idea of strength and bravery, whilst an inspector walked up and down and scanned the applicants, felt their arms, and put one question or another to them. Me, he passed by, merely shaking his head, saying I was rejected on account of my sight. I applied again without my glasses, stood there with knitted brows, and made my eyes as sharp as needles, but the man passed me by again with a smile. He had recognized me. And, worse than all, I could no longer apply for a situation in the garb of a respectable man. How regularly and steadily things had gone downhill with me for a long time, till, in the end, I was so curiously bared of every conceivable thing. I had not even a comb left, not even a book to read, when things grew all too sad with me. All through the summer, up in the churchyards or parks, where I used to sit and write my articles for the newspapers, I had thought out column after column on the most miscellaneous subjects. Strange ideas, quaint fancies, conceits of my restless brain. In despair, I had often chosen the most remote...